Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
We're talking about the subject of one another, and this is a great series. It's a great thing to talk about because it's our point of difference. How we do community is just, it's everything. How we do community, how we shine as the body of Christ, how we journey as the body of Christ is the loudest message we'll ever preach. God has put us all together for a reason. This is our family. This is our church. This is a great church. This is an amazing church. And Michelle and I came to this church when we were 20, and that was about 23 years ago. And we were just kids, but the journey for us has been extraordinary. We have become stronger, more enlightened because of journeying with people like you. God has used you to shape our journey and to help us understand more of His ways and to bring out the best in us. And hopefully we've been able to bring out the best in others. It's been a terrific journey. You know, and this morning I want to talk about what it actually means to be in the body of Christ. And you know, there's a great word that I've become super affectionate and fond of, and that's the word covering. You'll never fully appreciate the covering that you're under until you've been out of it. But under this covering, God blesses us and He protects us. Even on the worst days, He's taken care of us. We're experiencing subsequent blessing all the time. Being in the body of Christ, being in the family of God is about that covering. It's about becoming bigger than ourselves. It's about growing together. Everybody say together. It's about growing together. There's a great African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We're going to go far together as a church if we stay planted in the church, in the community, in the body of Christ, and in this part of the world, this part of the church that we've been planted. We're going to go far. Sometimes it can feel like a breakneck speed. Other times it can feel like you're going at a glacial pace, but it doesn't matter. God's timing is perfect. And we're going to go far because we're going together. There's no lone hands in the kingdom, not ones that get far. We're in this because God wants us to discover who we really are. When you're on your own, when you're isolated, you can be whoever you want. I used to dress up all the time as a kid. I used to dress up as, you know, all sorts of characters, which brings me to my next point before I get onto that. We're not isolated by being in this family together. We're not isolated. You know, I had breakfast with a great friend of mine, Chris Delamotte, recently, and he said, you know, Ryan, all the things that were created to bring us closer together have actually driven us further apart. All the things, all the technology, the emails, the social media, all that sort of stuff that was meant to bring us unified has pushed us further away. It's ironic. It's false economy. The idea hasn't worked. The other great thing is accountability. And accountability, that word has had a negative connotation too long, but in actual fact, accountability is the greatest thing. It's God's protection over our lives that we are accountable to one another. And you know what? Accountability is not necessarily sitting down and having to confess absolutely everything to the people that God's put in your life. It's just turning up. It's being visible. It's being present. It's allowing God to work through you and in you by being here and present. That's the greatest accountability. But summed up, really, the meaning of one another in the body of Christ is quite simply this: community. And you know what? I didn't like the word community growing up at all. I couldn't stand it. Because community when I was in primary school meant doing a Saturday morning working bee up the local primary school. And it really insisted on stealing that sacred, precious time as a 10-year-old kid on a Saturday morning when I could have been down surfing the break at Avalon Beach. Oh, no, no, no. I'm up there pulling out weeds from the football oval. I detested the term community. It meant dressing up as a Roald Dahl fictional character at the school fete in the middle of summer and boiling, being hot. It meant all that sort of stuff. It meant doing Lamington drives that I despised. I didn't like the term community one bit. But at 42 and having journeyed in this church and with Christ all that time, I've come to fully appreciate what the term community is all about. And so this morning, I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the origin of community. I want to talk about the journey of community. And I want to talk about the power of community. Let's just close our eyes just for 20 seconds here. I just want us to really center ourselves to fully absorb what God's going to do and say in us this morning. Amen. You know, I'm very privileged to be able to teach in college, and I'm very thankful to Pat and Amanda Ancliffe for trusting me enough to teach in some of those courses. And it's forced me to go deep into theology and really question things. And the thing that I've arrived at and come to the conclusion of is that all I know is that I don't know. Isn't that right, Em? and I've been teaching on the Trinity this last term. And there's a Greek term that I've become super familiar with, which is the word perichoresis, which actually sounds like a hot sauce that you put on your chicken, but it's not. Perichoresis is a Greek term that means rotation. And it's a term that refers to how the three persons that make up the triune God coexist all together in the life of the Trinity. And Alistair McKenzie, where are you, handsome man? You here? He's gone out for an early lunch. All right. Well, he was fortunate enough to create this illustration for me, which is very elementary but effective. By the way, if ever you want to understand the Trinity, don't watch the movie Nuns on the Run. Robbie Coltrane has a terrible job of trying to explain it, saying it's like a shamrock, a small leaf split three ways. Yeah, no, it's an epic fail. We've got God, right, who is our Father. God is love. He is entirely sovereign. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. All glorious, but he shifted glory to his Son. And in Colossians, it talks about the fullness living in Christ. Let's have a look at that scripture up on the screens here in Colossians chapter 1, if we can put that up, guys. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Let's just leave it there. The Father shifted glory to the Son. He was happy to have all glory dwell in his Son. And Jesus is, that's why it had to be him. He was the perfect sacrifice for a fallen world. God had to use his Son to reconcile to himself all things. And he was glorified at the time of his baptism. But you know what? In the garden, Jesus got out of the way for the Holy Spirit. And let's just move that next slide down here. Got out of the way for the Holy Spirit. In John, it talks about how if I don't go, Jesus said, or I must go so that I can send the Counselor. He will guide you into all truth. If you don't have a firm understanding of the purpose of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity, it's quite simply this. His job is to point us back to Jesus Christ. And when he does, we are transformed into Christ's likeness. That's the point of the Holy Spiritual baptism, that we are transformed over a lifetime into the perfect image of Jesus Christ. He points us back to the Son. But you know what? The Son is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He's our great high priest. He's our ambassador. He's our intercessor. And he glorifies the Father. And that's what perichoresis is. That's why the Trinity exists, so that glory will never rest. That is the origin of community. That's very kind of you. Thank you. The origin of community, so that glory will never rest. They all receive praise, but they pass it back to one another untouched. And you know, that's our point of difference as the body of Christ. None of us are ever meant to take glory for ourselves. And if we do, we pass it back to one another untouched. We uphold one another. That glory and that praise is untouched amongst us. And that's how people recognize who we are. We never want to compromise or sabotage that point of difference over our lives. The Trinity was present at the time of creation In Genesis 1, verse 2, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. Let us make mankind. And you know, they created Adam, and Adam was created as a triune being. We have been created as a triune being, body, soul, and spirit, in the image of the Trinity. They saw that Adam was alone. He needed a helper. They gave him Eve. Do you know, for collaboration and creativity to reach its full potential, it needs to be done together within community. It doesn't reach its full potential on our own. We only have to look at the Trinity to see the origin of not only community, but also creativity. Also creativity. Now that we know we're created to be together, here's a question that I want to ask this morning. What can we expect on the journey, and what's God's goal for us as the body of Christ? What's God's goal for us being in the body together? And this is our journey as community, our journey in community. And it's quite simply this: God's deep work in us. The reason you're in church, the reason you're in the body of Christ, the reason you're in God's community is so that God can go to work in the deep places of your life. Ephesians 2:10 says that He created good works for us to do in advance that we might walk in them. It says here, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. You know, none of us can say we're ready or that we're fashioned or that we're formed or that we're complete if we're not. And many of us try to posture and behave at times like we are formed, like we are mature, like we have reached our fulfillment. But only God can say that. Only God can say when we're ready. None of us can say we're ready if we're not. And if we walk away from God's processes, if we interfere with his processes, we interfere with his handiwork. We actually leave the moment that we're formed. We leave the moment that he goes to work on us to fashion and form the qualities of his son prematurely. We slow the process down. We interfere with that process. But he does that process in the context of community, not isolated, but together. Being in the body of Christ, it's not a floating RSL club. It's not for our amusement. It's not for our entertainment. We are living in what's called the post-denominational era, and we need to understand what that means. We're living in a period of time where the church has been exiled to the corners of society. Once upon a time, people came to church in the masses on the basis of their conscience, on the basis of what was right and wrong. The fear of God for them was intact. But in the postmodern world, and with the truth is relative argument, that has meant that people can pick and choose. They can decide where they're going to go to church, and they treat it like a Macca's drive-thru. I think I'll go to this church this week for worship, that place for great teaching. I'll listen to this podcast. I'll have a house church at my home. That's all fine as long as we don't uproot from the place that God has planted us in. As long as we don't walk away. Yeah, go ahead, give God a hand. As long as we don't walk away from the perfect church that he's planted us in. We never want to walk away from that. And you know what? This moment for us in exile is not persecution. It's not persecution. It's a time to reflect. It's God protecting us so that we can reflect and consider and go back over the things that we really believe, the things that we are really steadfast about, the things that we're going to hold firmly for the future in our willingness to stand up for Christ. But while we're here and in this body and in this community, he is going to be pulling out deep root systems in our lives. Gone are the days of us dying to the wrong things. You know, one of the things that we are notorious for dying to is self-care, artistic expression, joy, music, art, film, dreams, all these sorts of things. But he hasn't asked us to die to those things. Sometimes we die to them and we don't realize we're dying to them to satisfy a sincere thing in us, to satisfy our sincerity. But they're not the things he's called us to die to. He's called us to die to things like pride and intolerance. He's called us to die to things like criticism and judgment and comparison and acting independently. They're the deep root systems that he wants to pull out of us while we grow together in community. And when we, go ahead. I wasn't expecting any claps, so it's all right. Death to the right things. Do you know we were never meant to judge anybody's spiritual journey? But if we were to stop and pause and take a big deep breath and count back from 100, we're all guilty of it. We're all imposters. We've all made that mistake. But that is not helping us. That is not what we're called to do with one another. We're called to stand alongside one another on this spiritual journey. That's what we're called to do. That's the journey of community. That's the journey of community. And as we do that, he pulls out these deep root systems. It's not that death to self-care. But do you know what this journey is all about? It's a journey of transformation into perfect love. We understand the origin of community, but we also have to equally understand the journey of community. It's a journey into God's perfect love. And he spends a lifetime doing it. He spends a lifetime transforming us into that love. Do you know, when I was a music director, Danny and I, where are you there, mate? Remember that time we got interviewed by the Sydney Herald? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we got asked questions about the meistic approach behind writing worship songs. You guys seem to write a lot of songs about love, sounding awfully selfish. And I remember walking away thinking we just got snookered. And they didn't do a very nice piece on us. They twisted our words, but it got me to thinking, well, why do we actually sing songs about love? Why is every song about God's perfect love? I'll tell you why we have to keep singing songs about God's love is because it drives out fear. It drives out anxiety. It drives out anguish. Don't ever make apologies for singing songs about the love of God, because it's those songs that are transforming you into his perfect love. It's those songs that are getting rid of all of the clutter, all of the static, all of the noise, all of the fear that paralyzes us from going to the next level. We got to understand, how important is this transformation into perfect love? Well, let's look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's have a look on the screen. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You can read a scripture when you're 20 and then read it again when you're 40 and it can mean something completely different. And that scripture was a walking cliche for me. I heard it at just about every wedding, just about every engagement party, just about every romantic encounter. That scripture would come out for the believers. But do you know what? When you read that, we've got to ask ourselves, what exactly is Paul saying? He's saying this: you can't hide behind spiritual gifts. You can have a razor sharp spiritual gift in your life, razor sharp in the realm of prophecy, razor sharp in the realm of discernment. But if it's not fueled by God's perfect love, you're going to become an irritation. People are going to be able to see straight through it. Spiritual gifts are critical, but not without the golden thread of God's love, not without the transformation into his perfect love. Sometimes we emphasize acts of social justice to satisfy our own sincerity. It's more based on our theological points and our personal fears than it is on love. We need to keep going back over that. Those things will never atone or make up for the missing thread of love. And let me just say this, the Trinity is a picture of perfect love and genuine love. Why? Because love cannot exist without someone giving love, but it has to have a recipient. There needs to be someone on the receiving end. For God's perfect love and for us to be transformed into his perfect love, we all need to be together. Because there's those that give, but also there are recipients. There are those that are on the receiving end. And together, that's where love reaches its full potential. Dan, why don't you bring the band up here just for this last point. The last thing I want to say is this, or the third point, is the power of community. It's all very well for me to talk about its origin and to talk about its journey, but we cannot sustain the journey nor cooperate with the transformation process without understanding spiritual baptism. We just can't do it. We can't hide away and not overemphasize spiritual baptism. We can never talk about spiritual baptism enough, because that's where everything changes. That's where everything accelerates. You know, this is such a terrific church because we have pathways to discipleship. We have next steps that get people from A to B, so that the jump is digestible, that it's comprehensive. We have created courses like the Essentials course, so that people who don't understand this sort of stuff can get a way more developed understanding of it, so that they know what they're doing. If you haven't done Essentials, trust me, you got to sign up. It's essential that we do it. It's essential that we have an understanding of what we believe and why we believe it. You know, a lot of the things that we struggle with and the confusion and the disturbance is very often because we haven't put ourselves through the courses that we've set up in this church. Those courses do the heavy lifting. And I tell you, I have seen it too many times for it now. It's undeniably God what he does through these courses. It's undeniably God what he does through our college. It's undeniably God what he does in our prayer meetings and our connect groups. God uses the structure and the framework of our church to shape people's lives. In order for us to understand this, we have to go backwards in order to go forwards. Have a look at this last scripture. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. That's what we are here today. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit. Everybody say one spirit. We're all given the one spirit to drink. We have to go backwards before we go forwards. Do you know, the period in time between the resurrection and the ascension is one of the most important pieces of scripture you'll ever read or absorb and understand. Those period of 40 days and 40 nights from Jesus's resurrection to ascension was a suspended period of time. And the Bible assures us that he actually made many convincing proofs that he was alive, met with the disciples, and on one occasion, he told them to wait in the city. And you've heard the story ad infinitum a million times. Let me tell you this. There was one time in the Great Commission where he said to the disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Trinity, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Then he says this statement. And he says, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. What a statement. Surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. All of us have those friends who make radical promises about turning up at our 21st and never show. They're very good with the mouth. Broken promises, promises, promises. And then you meet them somewhere afterwards and they say, oh, sorry. And you say to them, too little, too late. How many of you glad that Jesus is not that kind of person who breaks promises? How many of you glad that when he makes a statement like that, he follows through? He says, surely I'm with you now to the very end of the age. We have to understand how to quantify that. We have to understand what he meant by that. When the cloud disappeared, caused him to disappear from the disciples' sight, they were standing around. Imagine the sense of loneliness. Imagine the sense of isolation and confusion. Jesus is with them. They've had a front row seat to all the miracles. Now he's gone. And the angel says, what are you standing here for, you dum-dums? Go to the city and do what he told you to do. And they wait in the upper room and bang, that baptism or that spiritual baptism was the first time it ever hit earth. And of course it was going to be thunderbolts and lightning. Of course, it was going to be punch and glitter, but it's been going on for 2,000 years ever since. Can I tell you what the point of spiritual baptism is? So that we don't live this life in our own strength. So that we don't have to feel the burden of being transformed into perfect love in our own strength. The power of community is one of a spiritual baptism. And when we get spiritually baptized, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what happens? It's the launch pad into discernment. It's the launch pad into clear understanding. It's the launch pad into supernatural strength. It's the launch pad into signs, miracles, and wonders. It's the launch pad into faith that what Scott was talking about this morning. It's the launch pad into prophecy. It's the launch pad into interpretation. It's the launch pad into healing. We don't want to ever underemphasize. We want to overemphasize that spiritual baptism. That is the platform. It says here that they were all together in one place. Where were they? They were in community. They were in community. But let's not mistake what this spiritual baptism is for. Some of us can think that it's the power to speed up, to do more, to go faster, to go further, to achieve this, to achieve that. Can I tell you what the point of spiritual baptism is? Is to slow our interior world down for God. To slow down on the inside. And do you know what? It's for each other that we slow down. It's for one another that we slow down. It's for one another that we actually silence the static on the inside and dial down the interior noise. We become a huge blessing to each other when we walk in that spiritual baptism. Just before Pastor Deb comes up and gives you an opportunity to respond, I just want us to close our eyes. You can remain seated, but even turn your palms towards heaven if you want. And just be reminded this morning. It's good to be reminded of who we are. It's good to be reminded of the things that change everything. The power of community is in our spiritual baptism. It's the power to be transformed. It's the power to be changed. It's the power to cooperate with God's deep work in us. It can't be done in our own strength. If you're not spiritually filled this morning, if you're not filled with the Spirit, He can do that right now. He can do that right now. You don't have to wait for an hour or another day or another week. Just right now, He can fill you with the Spirit. Maybe you've been saved for 20 years. Just get filled again. The disciples were continually filled. That's what sustained them for this journey of transformation.
At C3, we love stories. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, email us at stories@myc3church.net. You can also download the C3 Church app to keep up to date on events, listen to our latest album, and give as part of our tithes and offerings. We hope you have been blessed by this message. Use the handle @C3 Oxford Falls to follow us on social media.